Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 25, studying Matthew chapter 25. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's get back into our study of Matthew chapter 25. We take up just where we left off in our last program. The parable of the virgins not only introduces 10 virgins, but it characterizes them as follows. 5 carried sufficient oil in their lamps to keep them lit through the night as they awaited the arrival of the bridegroom and his wife. The other 5, however, had oil in their lamps, but not enough to last. The timing in the parable appears critical. It was the reason that the 5 foolish virgins failed to have sufficient oil. Turner notes that the foolish maidens expect the groom to arrive soon, but the wise are prepared for a delay. First, it was common practice for those in the extended wedding party to wait for the arrival of the bridegroom and his bride. Second, though the timing of marriage and marriage feasts were usually predictable, the key element in the parable, the one that threw the foolish virgins off, was this. The arrival of the bridegroom in this setting was delayed. The why of the delay was not addressed. In the parable, however, that's the key to understand why the 5 foolish virgins were described as foolish. They did not anticipate nor prepare for a delayed arrival. Third, the arrival of the bridegroom came quite late in the night. The text reads, "At midnight a cry was heard," but the meaning could easily have referenced some other time in the middle of the night. The preparation time, then, to greet the bridegroom and his bride had to be immediate. The 10 virgins would have had to be ready right away. Fourth, because they did not anticipate the delay, the 5 foolish virgins did not have enough oil to last until the bridegroom's arrival. The wise virgins did not have enough oil to share with the others, but they did have enough for themselves. They encouraged the others to go and buy oil, a difficult task to accomplish so late in the night. Fifth, because of the bridegroom's delay, and because of the lack of planning on the part of the foolish virgins, their time spent in search of oil in the middle of the night meant that they missed the arrival of the bridegroom. When they returned, they were denied access to the festivities. This parallels the importance of being permanently prepared for the return of the Christ. Sixth, in life, there are some things that you can be late for. But then there are some things that have a very definite window of time to be completed. Beyond that window of time, there exists no further opportunity. The message, you cannot prepare for the arrival of the bridegroom after he arrives. It's too late. Nor can you prepare for the arrival of the Son of Man after he arrives. It's too late. God provided ample opportunity and ample warnings and admonitions about the need to be ever ready for the arrival of the Son of Man. The customs of the day, assumed within the parable, about wedding preparations and the greeting of the bridegroom and so forth, were not lost on the virgins who waited. They all knew how these cultural traditions worked, and some, realizing the need to be prepared, had enough oil in their lamps, while the others did not. Jesus' concluding message, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Matthew 25, verse 13. How much oil do you have in your lamp? Are you prepared? It will be too late to prepare after the coming of the Son of Man occurs. The second parable in the chapter, the parable of the talents, consistent with Matthew's style of writing, constitutes the third major illustration in a row. It repeats, in a different parable, of course, the same principles found in the parable of the virgins, which in turn repeated the message found in the illustration of the faithful and evil servants in the closing verses of Matthew 24. The message, again, be watchful, be faithful, be ready. This parable, the parable of the talents, was built on another common practice of the day. A wealthy landowner was about to make a long trip. As he prepared to do so, he called his servants together and gave them the responsibility to care for his goods. In the illustration, that responsibility centered on using his goods, that is, investing the funds that he gave them, the talents, so that they would yield the best possible returns while he was away. There were three servants, each of whom received varying amounts of money or talents. The first received 5 talents, the second received 2, and the third received 1. Key to understanding the parable was this. Each servant was given talents or money according to his own ability. The point, whatever the landowner expected of each servant was within the limits of that servant's ability. The 5-talent servant had the ability to use 5 talents wisely, and the 2-talent servant had the ability to use 2 talents wisely, and the same with the 1-talent servant. He was able to do what the landowner expected with what he received. The talents, measures of money, not measures of personal ability, were very large sums. Talents were not coins, but an accounting term that measured value based on what a person would earn over so many days. It was usually measured and backed by a specified weight in silver. 1 talent was assumed to be valued at between 6,000 and 10,000 denarii, where 1 denarius was considered equal to a day's wages. 6,000 denarii, then, would be equal to what someone would earn over 6,000 days of work. If they worked 300 days a year, that would equal what could be earned over the course of 20 years. If a talent was valued higher, up to 10,000 days of work, the measure would equal what someone would earn over the course of 33 1/3 years. Thus, the 5-talent man received funds worth between 100 and 150 years of work. The 2-talent man received money valued between 40 and 66 years of labor. And the 1-talent man received capital equal to what would pay for someone to work between 20 and 33 years. These were staggering amounts of money on all of the servants' accounts. It shows not only how much this landowner was worth, that he could invest 8 talents to the 3 servants, but it also shows the incredibly high level of trust that the landowner placed in his servants. Both the landowner's wealth and the servant's responsibility paralleled God's incredibly rich grace and the magnitude of the trustworthiness that we, as God's servants, have from Him. The parable only works when we realize that the expectations of the landowner and the responsibilities of the servant had to be in sync. That's why we noted, as does the text in Matthew 25:15, that each servant was given talents according to his ability. We have already stated that the principles and message conveyed by this parable are repeated from the prior 2 illustrations and parables. There are other parallels as well. In each of the 3 illustrations, there was an undefined waiting period, a rather long interval of time. That was the key to the message of watchfulness, faithfulness, and preparedness. In the good and evil servant illustration in the prior chapter, the master delayed his coming, Matthew 24:48, which apparently allowed the evil servant to think that he could get away with some evil doings before the master returned. The message there, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 24:50 and 51. In the parable of the virgins, the text says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Matthew 25:5. The term delayed in this passage and the term delaying in Matthew 24, verse 48, have the same root. It means to extend a state or an activity beyond an expected time. The problem presented in both of the first two illustrations was one of varied expectations. The master expected faithfulness of his servants regardless of how long he was away. The bridegroom's party expected the virgins to be ready and waiting even if there was a delay in their arrival. But because the arrival of the master and the arrival of the bridegroom's party did not meet the servants' expectations or the virgins' expectations, they both failed to be ready when the master or the bridegroom arrived. God's expectations, of course, are the standard by which we do what He wants us to do and when He wants us to do it. Our expectations must sync with God's. We must do what God expects us to do, and we must continue to do what He expects without regard to when the Lord arrives. The element of timing was also central to the third illustration, the parable of the talents. Matthew 25:19 says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Each of the three servants had ample time to use the funds left in their care. We already know that they each had the ability to do so. The first two servants were commended. Each one doubled the talents left in their care, and each received identical commendations. The third servant, though, failed to do anything. He not only failed to do anything with the talent placed in his charge, he repeatedly failed to do anything. During the long time that the Lord of the servants was away, nothing was done with the resources that he had at his disposal. Nothing was done the first day that the master left, nothing was done the day before the master returned, and nothing was done on any day in between. The talent was buried. It was safe. It did not become less of a talent while it was in the ground, but it did not become anything more either, and that's what the master expected. The master's expectation, as with the two previous illustrations, was the guiding factor, and the timing in all three cases was such that the master's or the bridegroom's party's expectations could have been met. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 25. These reminders as we close. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.